Okay, with William Rush, Sweetener is the feature script. Oh, actually, we performed this whole entire feature script, Horror Underground Film Festival. Really interesting film. Like you even mentioned in the blog interview, where it's like it's not like a horror. It's got horror like elements to it, but it's you call it kind of a sexy crime action thriller, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's what a producer from LA described it as. And I guess if somebody like that is going to say that, then you better stick with it, because if that's what sticks out in their mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's dark. It's incredibly dark. But it was fun to write.
So a woman comes home from college on a winter break, young girl, and then her parents are away, and then she schedules that time to play the sex game with her boyfriend. Someone else has arrived, and then there's your film, I guess, right?
Yeah,
That's the
cat and
complex.
mouse, home invasion. We got a pretty smart villain. But she's a pretty smart and resourceful protagonist. She's not about to be a victim. Yeah, it's about them outwitting each other. It's different than the other scripts I wrote, because obviously there's not a ton of dialogue. It's a lot more of an action, heavy script. But yeah, it's I think it'll be fun. I think that's the one that'll resonate with audiences, even though it's dark. I think this is horror fans will kind of flock to it, the home invasion aspect.
And it's like not it's like a, the way you wrote it, it's like it's not like a, it's not gonna break the bank to make the film, I guess.
No, it shouldn't. We were gonna film it actually, and this was last year. We were scheduling to shoot that last September, and then the both strikes happened. So we already had two films under contract, didn't violate any strike rules. And so those were scheduled to shoot, and then we got those shot, but that strike lasted well into the fall, which cost us our location. Location was the most expensive, because when you go through the script, it has to be like a mansion, a
Yeah.
manor. And we had that. And everything, but it at great expense. But then there was just no possible way. I didn't. There was no way to get it registered in time with the WGA. And then obviously the actors went on strike too. And we just didn't want to cross any picket lines at all. So it's kind of been pushed back. Hopefully late next year is when we would shoot it, ideally.
Oh, wow. And are you gonna produce it, direct it?
I definitely want to direct it. I mean, look, if somebody backed up a money truck, certainly I would have to consider that, and then take my cast and crew and make something else with the money. But yeah, that would be the hope. I'm not big on happy endings or the endings you expect. And I feel like producers or production company studios they'll pull back a bit and compromise a vision. Because of what they think everybody wants, it has to be a little happier, a little more optimistic. And this is not that film. So I could see them kind of changing it. I could see people being troubled by the ending specifically. So it's definitely one I would want to direct, because I would stick to it. And I mean, reading the script, you can see it's written more as a shooting draft, because that's where we were in the planning process.
Yeah.
Camera angles and things like that are described.
And it's I'm on your IMDb page now. It seems like you've been pretty busy the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a bit madness. Yeah. We did the Stephen King. I ironically got the news that King had approved my very first film, which was a short adaptation of One for the Road. We were in Montreal when we got that news, and you have a year to do it under contract. We finished that up, and it was fine, and it's done okay in some festivals, but I knew it could do better, so I wrote and directed Group and then Immersion pretty short order. My wife's producer, she looked at everything and she's like, if you want to shoot this film Immersion, we have all these sets and all these locations reserved that we had to reserve for a specific amount of time. It
Yeah.
makes more financial sense to shoot him as close to back. She basically gave me a day in between shooting Group, which is through the festival circuits. It's won a lot of awards, so we're real happy with that. And then Immersion, just last night I got the final cut of that before it goes to the composer. So that should be a month or so before that's released, and then that'll be out there too.
Wow. And so like I said, like how did this all come about in the last couple of years for you? Like what were you doing previous to your IMDb credits?
Oh, I mean, well, I'm still doing it now, actually. I always love film and everything, but I was strongly discouraged from pursuing the arts. And I think only a couple people in my family had ever even graduated from high school. None had ever gone to university or anything like that. So I've been an attorney for 20 years about, and I
Okay.
did that. But when the pandemic happened, it gave me a chance. And my wife and I have been living together by that point, that she was willing to watch movies with me that nobody else was. All these movies I always wanted to watch. But to give you an idea, when your wife is like into Eraserhead, you've met your soulmate.
Okay.
And
David
she,
Lynch.
so yeah, exactly. And
Yeah.
she loves all of Lynch. I mean, we have a framed photo of him in our living room, with the family, just because Lynch is truly incredible. She watched Cronenberg's Crash with me. And loved that, and then it sent off this passion, and we're in lockdown, and I'm like, you know what? I'll pitch the idea to King. If they accept it and let me do the Dollar Baby program for this, then that's kind of the sign that I should do it. And then we did that, and then the second script got bought, and that got me into the WGA, and it's like, well, now you have to do it, and it's like, no, I can definitely do it. I can do it efficiently with a low budget. I can write it. So it was a matter of proving that, I guess, more than anything else, and trying to get better every time, writing and directing. But I love both, but I absolutely love being on set. We're shooting Fetish, a film called Fetish, in this September. So it's kind of been not like no rest for the weary. It's from one to the other, and then the focus. Law, we got three kids, and it's just boom. And then you kind of iron it out. The way I try to describe it is like if people might like playing video games or stuff like that, and they go on vacations. I write scripts, and our vacations are scheduled around making films. So that's kind of how we do it. So it's been nonstop since December of 2022, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so you just kind of change your career aspect. You kind of change your life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I still practice law, but hopefully by this time next year I won't have to. I'm not looking to be I'm sure everybody wants to be like the wealthiest and best known director. That's not it. I just want to have an audience and enough that becomes the profession. I'd be very happy doing it, making what I made as an attorney, on the financial end, as long as I'm not sacrificing like the art and the visions. And I get to work with the people that I like, and that I've developed these great relationships with.
So do you think that you're like directing, like, so is it writing or is it direct, or is it both? Do you want to write and direct like your projects? That's sort of like ideally that's your future career. Is that what you want to do?
I mean, we've done it three times. I've written three and directed them. Wrote Sweetener, wrote Fetish, which I'm directing, and then I wrote something called Encore, which is actually not at all horror, which we look like we're going to film in spring of next year. It's my passion. I mean, I love the directing side very, very much. It's two different things. When I'm writing, it's me and various glasses of scotch, and it's a solitary thing, and you're trying to put it together right. It's this puzzle, and then once that's done and you've got it where you want it, the directing side of it is so different. It's such a collaborative process with the cast, the crew, just everybody working together. And I love doing both so much. I think the overall enjoyment, directing is more fun. It's a supremely great time, but both are important. I have a passion for both, and I think if when you write the work you have a little bit of better idea of how to bring it to life. There's a little more of you in it, and it's that personal connection, I think, that helps a lot. I wouldn't be opposed to selling a script to somebody, and I certainly wouldn't be opposed to directing somebody else's stuff. I've been asked to do it. I've not accept. Well, I did accept once. Yeah, for a short couple of short films. I've accepted directing those. Yeah, the writing and directing is the thing. If I was forced to pick one, I love directing.
You
I think
always,
it's
that's
just,
sort of what I was kind of getting at is like, what do you like,
yeah.
what's your, so directing, wow. That's
That
your,
would be the one.
and it's just something that came later on in your life too, right? Like, it's not like directing is not easy. And I'm sure you know that, right? So, but it seems like
Yeah.
you're,
No, it's a great challenge. But it's one of those things where it's, even though I wasn't a student of it or doing it, it was something I was always so passionate about, film in general. And you know, instead of watching movies and saying, well, that was good, or I enjoyed it, or that was bad and I enjoyed it, it's you know, looking at camera angles and trying to figure out how they did certain shots, like Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho, which a lot of people didn't like, but I thought it was fantastic. There's a
yeah.
dream sequence where she goes back and she's reflected in one side, and you know, I can usually spot CGI pretty quickly, and I wasn't finding it. And so by the time stuff came out about how they made that scene, and you realize it was almost entirely practical in the choreography and the camera choreography that went into that, and to me, that's the magic of it, is how you were able to achieve it. An example would be for the film that's coming out, Immersion. There's a transformation scene. Now, nobody will ever do a transformation scene better than Rick Baker, American Werewolf in London. No one. But what I wanted to do is no CGI, and have it all in scene where a person undergoes a serious transformation. And we achieved it. I just set up a shot and figured out a way we could do it so that it's all in camera, and it absolutely appears to be a continuous shot. And then I'm like, we need to shoot this way, and then this way. And
Yeah.
then when you combine them without any trickery or digital effects, it's all there in camera. And that's the kind of thing I love to do, is like try to figure it out, be artistic, don't be overly flourishing or anything like that. But yeah, you want to capture it and be, you know, in the best way possible. So yeah, directing is the most fun. It's something I've always looked at, how something was done. And the reason certain classic movies hold up and certain directors are truly incredible is just you know, it's a collaborative process, the way they're able to bring it together. And I find it fascinating, and I've just been obsessed with it forever. So it was definitely a steep learning curve for me, but it's one I learned fairly quickly.
What are your, because you mentioned you had kids, what do your kids think about this career kind of change for shift for you?
Yeah, I have three daughters, and well, the oldest is 13, so she doesn't care except when it affects her directly. You know, nothing I do is going to be interesting. My 8-year-old and 7-year-old daughters are obsessed with it. My youngest is a massive horror fan. Her favorite movie is Maximum Overdrive. I don't know what to make of that, but she also loves Christine. She enjoyed The Witch, of all things, and I know adults that weren't too keen on that or didn't understand
Seven.
it. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's. I know it sounds, but she's fine. There's certain things obviously you don't show her, but
So
stuff I know that won't
she's in grade
scare
two
her.
right now.
Yeah, grade one. She turned. She was born so that
Earlier,
she
okay.
wasn't, yeah, old enough to start
Yeah.
kindergarten. So she's grade one. She's like one of the older ones in her class. But yeah, they love it. They love being on set when they can. They were in the one movie playing younger versions of the older characters, so they think it's fantastic. And like when the awards have come in, they get excited, and they do their acceptance speeches and stuff. So that's fun for them. That they love it.
That's amazing. And then, so like this is kind of a really great story of yours. Do you mind asking, saying what law you practice?
Oh yeah, I mean, when I started out, it was criminal prosecution, and then I did criminal defense, and now primarily it's like you know, civil matters, business contracts, things like that, and then kind of complex civil litigation where somebody sues somebody else, or vice versa.
Gotcha. Because there's a obviously you know obviously there's a pattern of a lot of lawyers getting into the into screenwriting, getting into
Yeah.
like there's so there's a the list is long, right? Of
Oh,
I've
yeah.
talked to other lawyers before and I asked them this question. I'll ask you the question. Why do you think that's such a common thing where lawyers go into screenwriting?
I think law, at least in certain areas of it, can be a real like life sucking job. It takes a lot out of you, and with like immediate access, it's sort of become like an inhuman sort of job in a way. Like you're a thing that does a thing at all times. You're certainly not allowed to have personal life, you know, and creativity is stifled. I mean, at least in terms of like certain appeals to federal courts and certain trial arguments, you get to bring out that creativity and that passion, that interest. But
Yeah.
otherwise, it's generally stifled. Everybody should be the same way. And I think, like, I know several screenwriters who started off attorneys too. They were intelligent people and great writers who just felt part of this bureaucratic system that tried to, you know, that tries to conform everything into a very tight box and keeps you confined. And you get all these experiences, you know, you see the worst of the worst and the best of the best. And the life experience alone, if you have a passion for writing, and most great trial attorneys are generally great writers. They have a great writing background or were successful in that. And it's just natural to want to try. And that said, I haven't written anything about the legal field yet, but there are definitely characters who have experiences that are close to what I've witnessed. And I think there's that part of it is you see the absolute worst of society every day. Most people you're meeting because of the worst event that's ever happened in their life. Vast majority of the time every day.
Yeah.
And it's a creative outlet, you know. They're not writing documentaries or biographies. They're writing, you know, narrative fiction scripts. And it's a great way to escape. It's almost therapeutic in a way because you can get things out by the creation of a character and the creation of maybe a similar thought or feeling you experienced, and you could put it there in the page. And I think it's a great release. And if you find you have a knack for it, it's something certainly I'd rather write than practice law. Absolutely.
Yeah, you are like you're right. It's funny how you mentioned that. We're like you're meeting these people like kind of like because nobody wants to get sued. Nobody wants to go be part of a lawsuit, or nobody wants to talk to a lawyer. Generally speaking, you're talking to a lawyer not because you're like everything's happy-go-lucky. Sometimes if you're
Yeah, it's the worst
selling
thing.
your business or whatever, but generally speaking, like you're like it's not a happy time to be talking to you, I guess, right?
No, yeah, even like the most, you know, the seemingly most simple things, like somebody needs an estate worked out. Well, that means they just lost somebody close to them.
Yeah.
That's why they're coming to see you. So it's yeah, I mean, it's a lot of therapy involved with it, but you take on trauma too. There's things I've seen that I can't unsee. You know, and people die in accidents, and kids are hurt, and those, you know, you see the pictures and the image, and they stick with you. And I think that outlet's important, and it's better to create something than to try and make sense of something horrible. And the other part of it is, you know, it's aside from professional sports, it's one, if you're a trial attorney, it's one of the few professions where you actually have wins and losses.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing. But it's just one of those.
No.
It's nice to not necessarily be competitive, but just to put your creativity out. And if it resonates with people, it doesn't. If there's criticism, that's okay. You
Well, I've
know.
talked to a few lawyers and they say there's no such thing as Perry Mason. You're always going to lose a case. Everybody loses a case, right? So
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, I've lost a few. I don't think I should have lost any of them personally, but I've definitely lost a few, and I've won cases I definitely shouldn't have won. So it does even out. But no, everybody loses. You know, every court case, somebody loses. One person loses at least. And it's why, like, the other thing about, like, people talk about the lawyers who bring ridiculous cases, and I completely agree. But they always forget that there's a lawyer on the other side fighting against the ridiculousness,
yeah.
whether it
Well,
be
that's their
criminal
job,
or
right?
otherwise.
That's their
Yeah,
job.
absolutely, absolutely. And they have to do it.
Yeah. Maybe not as good as good
Yeah,
as
oh
they could.
yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's an oath. You take an oath. It's you got to do your best.
gotcha. Well, yeah, I guess. No, I understand what you're saying. Well, yeah, it's a great script. I just wanted to ask one last question because I thought this has come up a few times. Where you adapted Stephen King's one of his short stories into and this is what Stephen King does, where, like, I don't know if it's changed, but back in my day, he would allow anybody to adapt his short stories, especially students. And all he asked was that he needs to see the final, he needs the final copy. But he loved the idea of, like, short scripts, like short films made of his stuff, because he wanted to get it out there and he wanted to help people. And it's something that I always believe that young filmmakers, like, you're not young, but you're, like, young in terms of being your experience in the field, where, like make do like he's got amazing adaptations. Like, the story's there. Why write an original screenplay? Like, it's a genius what you did, because it's like, that's where you go, right? Like, he's already told you the blueprints of a great story, so you might as well just adapt that story. That's my, like, I'm surprised. What I'm trying to say is, I'm surprised more people don't do this, because it's there. There's opportunities that are there. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I'll pan a little bit. Like, I'm a fan. That's every book he's ever written.
Oh, really?
First
Okay.
editions. Yeah. Oh yeah. First
You're
editions.
yeah.
First printings. Mostly. Pennywise is behind me here. Carrie. I agree completely. It's one of those things where if you say, you know what, I want to make a short movie. I've never done it before. Send it out to casting people. And try to get people involved and interested. Well, okay, a lawyer's making a movie, but if you have a contract signed by Stephen King, it says okay, and then you get his blessing when it's done to submit it to the festivals, it changes the calculus a little bit. It is weird knowing Stephen King's watched one of your movies. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
It if he hates it, he'll find out, because he won't be able to submit it to festivals or anything anywhere. But evidently, he was good with mine, so he liked the idea, and proved the movie to go out. So, but that helped. It's a Stephen King adaptation, So my first thing I ever did is, one for the road based on,
Yeah.
the original story by Stephen King. So absolutely, I think it's a smart thing to do. It also is a good way to get into screenwriting, because you adapting something is you're taking what you think of as visual and putting it into a written form to make it visual again. To others. So it there's many benefits to it. I think more people should have taken advantage.
Well, you have a director's name, William Rush. It's a great name for a director. So
Yeah, appreciate it.
yeah. No, man, it's great. It's fantastic. I really appreciate it. And you're not, like, your stories are, like, there's core themes to it. But you're entertaining us, and you're not, it's not like there's a simplicity in the complication of your plots, if that makes sense. Like, you're just
Oh, I
like,
appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. That does make sense. And I thank you. That's an incredible compliment. Thank you very much.
well, let's talk again when you make your next when you make your film. I'd love to help showcase whatever we can do. I think that you're on your way, and yeah, we had a real good time performing your entire feature, and it was an interesting experience, and all the actors had a really good time with it. So I appreciate you submitting it.
Oh, they did fantastic. I really can't thank you guys enough. It was awesome. And also the short little movie is as well. Just loved it all.
No, I appreciate
Just
that.
yeah,
It's really
couldn't
good to
be
hear.
happier. Everybody did amazing.
All right, man, let's talk soon then.
All right, thank you, Matt, so much for having me. I really appreciate it.